Pink Gulf shrimp have a lot of things going for them. For consumer Denise Luna, they're worth driving nearly an hour to what was the last market left on San Carlos Island for fresh wild caught.
Do you mind double bagging it and putting some ice on it, because I came a long way?
Scientifically, they're easy to study, says National Marine Fisheries Service fishery ecologist Dr. Joan Browder.
It's an annual crop, and as it's managed, it's not threatened with extinction, or it's a very sustainable fishery. And it was for many years the highest valued fishery in Florida, and may be again.
Browder started studying the effects of salinity and fresh water flow into the estuaries on pink shrimp growth and survival in 1984. But her research funding was cut in 2011, so she's not able to tell shrimpers if issues in the nursery habitat are related to declines in their catch.
Three at a time per pound, and gives you your count of your shrimp.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission reports in 2006, more than 5 million pounds of pink shrimp, worth $11 million, were offloaded here on San Carlos Island. In 2013, only 2.3 million pounds of pink shrimp, worth almost half that, were offloaded.
You kind of got to make sure all the heads, it's a whole shrimp. That's one, two, three.
Shrimper Malcolm Curran just came in on the Polly Teresa. They were out for 23 days. He says the fleet isn't what it used to be.
I think it's dwindled down from thousands of shrimp boats to hundreds in the entire Gulf of Mexico.
Fellow shrimper Henry Gore says the price has gone up lately, but the supply close to Southwest Florida has gone down, and he doesn't know why.
There's shrimp off Sanibel, not as good as used to be, but you get on a little bit south of Sanibel, and for 60 miles, it's just like it's dead. I don't know what that is, but something happened over the last 10 years. We used to catch a lot of shrimp there off Naples and all that. Nothing anymore.
So Gore says he has to travel much farther south to the Dry Tortugas to make the trip worth his while. He says he faces competition from imported shrimp, and 20 days of fishing costs him $18,000 in diesel fuel alone. It's a similar story for bait fisherman Ralph Woodring, who runs the bait box on Sanibel.
It's got to be worthwhile to go, you know, pay for your gas and then be enough shrimp to take care of the business for the next day at least, and that's not the case.
He's been trawling for shrimp and other bait fish since the 1970s.
We catch bait and we put them back down. If we don't catch any bait, why we move someplace else?
Woodring says lately his catch is not even one-tenth what it used to be.
49. We don't count the peewees. 50.
And he says it breaks his heart.
It makes you want to cry. And I have been known to on occasion, talking to the water management district some years ago, and the tears just flowed. It hurts.
Not far from where Woodring trawls at night, Rick Bartleson, a research scientist for the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation, checks a water sample for, among other things, salinity.
One of my water quality sites.
How's it been?
This year's been pretty good. The water's fresh.
Good.
Fresher than normal for a dry season.
Bartleson is studying how seagrass beds are affected by freshwater discharges from Lake Okeechobee, runoff from the Caloosahatchee, and rainfall.
When we have those high flows, salinities go way down. So that would account for no shrimp around our area during those discharges. But the other thing those flows do is affect the seagrasses. When seagrasses go away, the shrimp don't have anywhere to hide at night when they're feeding.
This is why federal fishery ecologist Dr. Joan Browder wishes she still had the funding to study pink shrimp in the estuaries.
So it's really important that these nursery grounds are good habitat for them, with good healthy seagrasses, the right salinities at the right time, and the right variability, so they're not stressed out, and so they can grow at their maximum rates, and so a lot of them survive.
Most of the funding for Browder's pink shrimp studies, whose data were used to help monitor Everglades restoration, was part of a 68% cut in monitoring projects in 2011. Dr. Susan Gray, chief environmental scientist at the South Florida Water Management District, says they had to scale back.
While pink shrimp are important economically and for the ecosystem, they tend to be out in a band that is more saline and so not as necessarily as sensitive to changes in nearshore freshwater flows as other species. And for that reason, and because we were essentially having to make some very difficult decisions, the idea was to cut that monitoring at the time. And as economic conditions improve, we're hoping that we can go back and pick up some of these indicators.
Water managers still monitor oysters, and even though oysters are more tolerant of freshwater flows than shrimp, heavy lake releases last year caused dangerously low salinity levels. As a result, all the oysters in the Caloosahatchee River being used as indicator species for Everglades restoration died. Dr. Gray says water managers expect to revisit the monitoring program next fiscal year. After all, without a solid plan, Florida's formerly highest valued fishery won't continue to end up in restaurants like the local in Naples.
I will sear them in the pan now. I like to get a little bit of brown color on each side of the shrimp. And if they stick to the pan, that's okay. And I'll take my spoon and taste it. Delicious.
Amy Tardiff, WGCU News.